3-2, Castellanos waiting at the plate. Here's the payoff pitch. Swung on, line down the right field line. It's in for a base hit. It'll go to the corner. Boehm will score. JT coming home to score. And Nick Castellanos delivers a two-out, two-run double here in the ninth. And the Phillies now lead it 3-0.
But that was a big moment last night, obviously, as the Phillies won. The Braves did not play, so the Phillies now 9 games off on Atlanta, which almost feels a little... I mean, let's put it this way. Obviously, the Braves haven't played great lately because the Phillies haven't won on the same clip as they had in the first couple months. Yet the lead is, only 1 game off what it was at the top, which was, I believe, 10 games. So good job by the Phillies. Great job by Zach Wheeler last night. 7 innings. Absolute, obviously, phenomenal pitcher doing great things for the Phillies. All right, so Nick Sirianni coming up shortly. Now, 2 things from yesterday we haven't yet covered. One, and this was a strange story, Michael Gallup retired. You know, every once in a while you see a player in football who retires right before training camp. Maybe they're like, all right, my heart's not in it. I mean, his team was just about to go to camp. 6 years in the league, he was a pretty good player. 6 years in the league, retired. Was there an injury? I don't know, probably.
But it seemed like there was usually an injury.
But he was Gallup. A pretty good player, and it was only year 6.
Well, he was supposed to be a pretty good player,
but he was good.
It just didn't seem like he was available as often as I would have expected.
But you didn't expect him to retire.
I absolutely did not.
No. The other thing from yesterday, speaking of injury, you may not know this. Mike Trout was appearing in a minor league game. He got pulled out after 2 innings because his knee acted up again.
Which is crazy because they said 6 weeks when it happened, and it's been like 3 months or 2.5 months or whatever.
And so there's 2 different things here. One is obviously Trout's career, which is unfortunately, feels kind of derailed. The second was the theoretical possibility that if he reestablished here in like a week, the Phillies could trade for him. I didn't expect it, but I'm just saying it wasn't like impossible. But obviously, the Phillies aren't going to go in for a guy you totally can't trust if he's ever going to play. So Trout will go back on the mend, and we'll see whenever he next plays for the Angels, which, hopefully is later this year. Maybe it's next season. Who knows? 215-592-9494 to weigh in on everything we're discussing.
Maybe now's
today.
The time to buy low.
Well, the problem is, the good news is the Angels will have to pay more and more of the money. You just don't want to pay much money.
Right.
And the Angels have to pick up 80% of
his
salary.
They prorate it, and you take him off their hands.
It's possible. It's
while
possible.
He's healing up. I mean, I'm certain.
I think it's very, very unlikely.
Very unlikely.
I would bet against
it. Sirianni coming up really soon here on WIP.
Speaking of which, we just got a note. It looks like it's going to be closer to 9:15 than 9. So at least they let us know ahead of time, I suppose. Also,
not like them.
Not 100% sure if this is what it means, but Elliot texted me from the room. Apparently there are 2 microphones set up, so he thinks there's a chance that Howie will be on with Nick. We'll find out. But there are 2 microphones.
Well, so normally, yes and no. So
yippee, Joe. Well, no, seriously,
no,
that's
normally,
a yippee.
Well, normally
kinda.
It is,
yippee.
But is Howie? Is that because I don't remember Howie speaking at the start of training camp? Is that cover for Nick? No, I'm serious. What is that?
It's definitely Howie and Nick. Howie and Nick.
You just got that confirmed.
Yeah, they changed it on the website. It says Roseman Sirianni.
Is that
conference.
Cover for Nick for whatever reason?
100%. I don't think there's any question. They know that the first question, the big question, the Jalen relationship, that whole thing, and I think Howie's there to help him through it. Yeah, I do.
Because, correct me if I'm wrong, and I've been wrong, I think it's either once or twice in my whole life.
Yeah.
Okay, so
yeah.
I have been wrong before, but it's rare. Very rare. I don't remember Howie speaking at the start of training camp.
Ever. In my memory. I don't remember it.
I don't have a recollection one way or the other. This is massive, though, the fact that they felt like they had to put him there with Nick. It is not normal that you've got the GM sitting there.
Yeah,
it is not normal.
I'm almost positive he hasn't
coach,
done it before.
You got the like, maybe Jerry Jones has done this past, but he's in a different, wacky world.
Yeah. All right, well, that's fascinating.
This is weird.
It's a different dynamic. All right. Well, look, I mean, there's an awful lot about the roster that obviously would be interesting to know about. Although I will say this, at this point, it's less about, at this point, to me, it does feel like more of a Nick Sirianni moment than a Howie. The team is formed. Now, who's going to make the team is to be determined, but the roster is formed.
Like, is this a sign Howie that we're becoming more like it's going to be more Jerry Jones-esque moving forward?
No, it's not the owner. Not the owner.
Okay, but he was also the GM, so to speak. The
GM. He is actually the GM.
I don't think he's called the GM.
No, I think he's the general manager of the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, okay.
If you're saying is Howie going to determine who plays on Sunday, I don't think so. But I'll say
this
I think he makes his opinion known.
Is this signaling he's making his opinion more vociferously?
Maybe.
Not just behind the scenes any longer.
All right, well, look, we'll ask for your interpretation of everything we're discussing here today. And again, as we look forward to Sirianni and now also Howie in about 20 minutes with that press conference pushed back, your expectations for what will be said and your desire for what should be said, plus Hurts. Look, we don't know for sure that he's speaking today. I would say it's probably likely. The quarterback obviously always speaks in the start of training camp, whether it's day one or day two. Today's day one practice-wise, then you got tomorrow. I would expect him to speak really soon. I hope they do it today. We're going to be all ears whenever you talk. Look, I want Hurts to exude positivity, excitement for the coming season, and frankly, to give in, even if he doesn't feel it in his heart, to show respect to the head coach. Because here's what I know. The head coach was chosen by the owner and the general manager. And I'm not talking about in 2021 when they hired him. Obviously he was. I'm talking about last January when they lost the playoff game and his job was dangling and the owner and the general manager chose to keep him. The quarterback better recognize that he better get in line because the owner and the general manager chose to keep the coach. So even if he doesn't actually respect him, he better act like he does. Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Press conference soon. Phone calls now.
They need to have a guy that he respects also. I mean, that is really important. This is a critical aspect.
Well, John, let me ask you a question.
You need a leader. My biggest worry, that this is a massive concern for me, that Howie Roseman has done an incredible job of stocking this team. He's done an incredible job personnel-wise. He can't replace a great head coach.
Let me ask you a question. Devin, to you, Seltzer, to you, and everyone, 215-592-9494. This goes for the next 15 minutes until the press conference. This goes for the next year. I'm going to start with you, John, because I do. Do you trust Jeffrey Lurie? Look, they're not infallible, okay? Not infallible. Lurie and Howie have made plenty of mistakes. But do you trust their instincts? They chose to keep the head coach. Do you trust their instincts, John, yes or no? I do.
Well, do I trust their instincts? Yes. Do I think they made the right decision?
In this case, you think they made a mistake?
No, I don't. I think their instincts may have misled them in this instance. But, I hope I'm wrong. I think this is just a matter of time type thing, though.
You get my point, though, that the quarterback better recognize the coach and the owner and the GM chose him.
I don't know that.
But we do know that. They could have fired him and they didn't.
This head coach is now needing Howie to sit next to him.
It's weird.
We don't know that didn't happen before.
Yeah, that is so bizarre to me. I watch around the league. I've been paying attention to these things. I haven't seen the GM up there sitting with the head coach.
Are they going to announce a Sirianni contract extension? I don't know. All right, Devin, to try to ward off that, lame duck coach thing. Devin, do you trust Lurie and Howie's instincts?
I do. And I think that they made the right decision in keeping Nick Sirianni. I know his seat is warm, but he still won a lot of games for the Eagles pretty early in his career. And to go back to what Joel Embiid said in an interview like earlier this week, I think consistency is key. If you have a coach that's winning games despite the end of last season, I just don't think it's fair to Sirianni to move off him so quickly. So I think his seat is warm, but I trust their decision.
James, do you trust Lurie and Howie and their instincts?
I do. I think that at this point that they've been through enough together and enough situations and enough of these type of things where I do trust them to handle it.
All right. Look, press conference soon. Whenever it starts, we're going to be all ears. We're going to bring it to you here. 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia as we broadcast from the Tasty Cake Studio. A highly anticipated press conference coming up sometime, it appears, in about the next 15 minutes. Let's go to Salvador right now in Coatesville. Good morning, Salvador.
Hey, good morning, everybody. How you guys doing?
Doing well, Salvador.
I'm excited, my man. I mean, we've been waiting a long time.
I think we're about to be enlightened.
Not to mention they go to practice in an hour. That's a whole other thing.
That's a big deal. But even if they try not to say anything, we can infer quite a bit.
We will.
From everything we see.
No question. No question. All right, Salvador.
I'm a little nervous right now. I feel a little nervous.
I have a feeling they're going to try and settle all this down about all the animosity between Jalen and Nick. That's why Howie's there. I feel like he's going to take the majority of the of that answer. But I had a question. Whose E do you think is better, Howard's E or Devin's E this morning?
Howard's E? And what's Howard's E? I don't know.
Howard had a bad one?
When did he have an E?
In the Eagles chant.
Howard did an Eagles chant?
I don't remember that. I remember Jalen singing.
Everybody, all you guys at the station did that Eagles chant, and he started it out with that weak E.
No, I don't remember that.
Oh,
no.
We could do a side-by-side, potentially.
Yeah, I don't remember that. I don't.
That's where Joe Giglio's L drop came from, that L.
L!
You know what I'm talking about?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, well, you have to look that up.
I know what you're talking about, bud.
Okay.
All right. Hey, Joe, today is National Gorgeous Grandma Day. I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Bo
Who's
Derek.
Your favorite gorgeous grandma?
Wheelhouse.
Listen, I don't know for sure Bo Derek had a kid who had a kid, but, I mean, she's about 75, so she probably had a kid that had a kid. Right, Bo
Derek? She's over 80 now. I could be wrong.
Yeah, you know what? It's all good. Bo Derek.
That's crazy how you have one on the top of your head like that.
When is Bo Derek not on the top of my head? All right, come on.
But I got an answer for you guys.
Usually, it should be all the time. Like Bo, why would Bear?
We
Bo
don't talk
Derek
enough about Bo Derek
atop your.
I mean, Bo Derek, legend. All right, Salvador, give me a great answer. A quote from a movie, and you can't quote the movie 10. The whole thing's off the board. Give me a saying from a movie often said in real life.
Show me the money.
You know, that is a good answer.
Geez.
That is a really good answer.
One.
Yeah, I like that for
nice
sure.
One.
All right, let's talk to Tom. He's calling from Dover. What's up, Tom?
E-I-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
That's what I'm talking about, Tom. That's right.
I'm taking notes, okay?
Matter of fact, even Mark Zumwalt's excited for the Eagles to be back.
Yes! Oh, yes!
You know, I mean, they're upon us, Tom. They're practicing in an hour. It's a beautiful thing. Actually, they're really going to be upon me and John tomorrow. When we and Devin, we're going to be at training camp tomorrow. So for everyone listening, tune in tomorrow.
But they're really going to be upon you.
Well, they're not going to tackle me.
That would be something.
Tackle me and I sue.
Eventually,
I'm like the Duke from Rocky V. Touch me and I sue.
At one point, we had an idea that you and Jimmy were going to do the Oklahoma drill against one another.
But you remember what happened.
At one point, we had the idea that we were going to do this decameraathlon.
Well, we can still do that.
And that would have been one of the events. That's a great event.
There were two problems with the Oklahoma drill. Problem one, Seltzer was a wuss.
Yeah, right.
Problem
I'm
two.
Right, right. I'll
so
do it
Jimmy
in the hallway.
We can let them talk and do it in the hallway right now.
No, problem two. James a couple years ago finally stepped up and said that.
Stop. That was at a Phillies game.
The HR department around here is like, we can't be having that.
Oh, no.
Like, we can't. Have physical contact that could result in injury and lawsuits. Oh. So, Tom, I would have done
I'm ready right now.
I was ready 5 years ago.
Oh, but stop lying.
All right?
Stop lying.
All right?
Wow.
Hold on. I think Alicia Silverstone's weighing in.
I think Pat Riley.
You should keep your mouth
It sounds like
shut
your manufacturing enthusiasm,
all right,
Joe,
all right.
And I don't believe you.
Tom, we got off track. Hello, Tom.
Listen, man, I came in there, man, with my Eagles chant. That was for Devin. Devin, you got to get with the program. Really, you do.
I know. It was a strong work by you, and I'm taking notes.
You got to get with the program. But it's all right, though. You're just getting into the flow. Don't worry about it. You're going to be all right. But
thank you.
The reason why I called in, Joe, because that last statement that you made with this, I was listening. I said I wasn't going to call because I didn't really feel like arguing with you this morning.
Uh-oh.
I didn't feel like arguing with you. You know, but you brung the money up, and I've been waiting for you to bring the money up. That's what I've been waiting for, you know. The man's going to get his money regardless if he plays for the Eagles or not. So let's get that understood.
You're talking about Jalen?
Exactly.
Yeah, but hold on, Tom. Here's the thing about money. Hold on. Here's the thing about money in sports, particularly in a salary cap era. When you make money, and a lot of it, you make it at the expense of someone else being able to make it. It's called the Tobias Harris theory. If you sign for a fruck... I get fired up sometimes. I get a little fired up sometimes.
I get it.
If you sign for $180 million as Tobias Harris did, or $250 million as Jalen Hurts did, you better deliver for the money, all right? That's the point. Now, everyone listening is laughing because other people here are laughing and you're wondering what's going on. I may have just gotten a little too fired up and getting frustrated.
What do you mean you may have? No.
Settle down. Everybody
contracts,
settle down.
Contracts. Contracts and money. That well, you're fired
all right,
up.
All right, Tom. It's now your turn to talk. Don't lay me out, man.
It's a good catch, though, by you.
Go ahead, Tom.
Man.
All right.
Tobias Harris got the $180 million, and he moved on, and he got another contract.
But he killed them for fun. But you're missing my point. It's about what happens here. It's about the Tobias.
You know
let him, listen, Tom, would you agree with this? If a quarterback makes $50 million a year, it's more important that he play well than if a quarterback makes $5 million a year. Because he's been given the responsibility and the long-term responsibility carry the flag for the franchise.
Listen to this, man. He's going to make you eat your words, man.
I hope.
I'm going to be calling in all season. You know, that's what I do. So, you know, I'm a football caller. I call in for football. So
okay.
I'm going to be on you all season because he's going to make you eat your words. You can best believe that.
Well, here's what I say about Jalen.
Enough is enough. Start playing with some jam in here. Let's go.
We'll see. We'll find out. Tom, yeah.
Tom, I agree with you. And Joe will eat his words.
Look,
and
Tom,
I think you should call often and smash him with his own words.
Hey, John, you know, the only part about it is, man, that, you know, he could get away with that. He'd be on the radio, Jalen had good game. Jalen is. After he talked bad about him. That's the only part that I –
Look, Tom, all jokes aside.
Hang on.
All jokes aside, if I'm wrong and Jalen plays great and should be here for 5 to 10 years, I'll say I was wrong. And I'll be happy to be wrong, Tom. I'll be like, Jalen in 2022
I can't wait
exceeded
to hear
my expectations from 2021.
And I'm very
and
confident
I was thrilled.
This will look
I was thrilled.
Like 2022. I'm confident that with this framework in place, with a real NFL style, pro style West Coast offense, with Jalen's blend
right.
of RPO included,
well, I
this
hope.
Is this offense and Saquon. Wow!
All right, Tom, give me an answer. A quote from a movie often said in real life.
I told Jimmy when I called, and I ain't had no quote, man. I wanted to just get that chain off of Devin.
All right, you got it. You got it, John James. Do you have the longer form of Devin's chant?
No. Yeah, I do.
So for those who missed it, earlier today, you know, because, you know, first day of Eagles practice, like, let's get fired up. And I know that Devin struggles with yelling, like, get into it. Like, it's just not, it's not in her bag. So
no.
I wanted to see if.
Very unnatural for me.
Yeah, if it would get awkward. And
yeah.
it got awkward. It took her like 2 minutes to rev up and, well, she didn't rev it up. This was an attempt at an Eagles chant.
Did your voice almost crack right there, too?
It did for a moment. All right, let's hear the attempt at an Eagles chant. Crank it up!
E-A-G-L-E-S
Eagles! So bad. Disgraceful. Disgraceful.
Richie really saved her there at the end, too. Richie really came to the rescue.
Like, when I tell you I was not expecting to fail that hard.
Well, you knew you were in trouble with the A.
So when you listen back.
Once I started, I was like, wow, I just might as well keep getting through this and get it over with. But
wow.
I can do better.
They say that your voice sounds completely different, like inside your own head.
Yep.
When you hear your own voice do that, does it sound like
it was a weird
you can't
feeling
even imagine cause
it didn't
you
even,
did that?
Yeah, like it didn't, as soon as that first E hit with the voice crack, it was not me.
Unrecognizable.
I just had to keep going through it, though.
All right, so Nick Sirianni and now Howie Roseman's press conference coming up in about 5 minutes. As soon as it starts, it might start sooner than 5, a little after 5, but somewhere in the range of about 5 minutes, they'll be at the podium at the NovaCare Complex. When they are, we will bring that press conference to you here. 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Tim. Tim, good morning.
Hey, guys, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Hello, Tim.
Good morning. First time, very long time listener.
Nice, man.
Thank you.
Welcome aboard.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if Jalen Hurts comes out with a bad start, would they bench him for Kenny Pickett, or would he actually have to get hurt for Kenny Pickett?
It'd have
to
be
up?
A long bad start. Like Carson got 11 and a half games. You know, I would not expect Jalen to be benched at least through half the season.
I think you got to give him like three quarters of the season, and it's got to be he can't
gotta be really
function
bad.
In this offense. Like you have to have proof that it's just not. Tenable.
Look, remember, Randall got benched in the fourth game of 95. That was 3.5 games.
Right.
They had Rodney Pete, And John Gruden and Ray Rhodes said, let's go for it. And it totally turned the season around. The problem, Tim, is that Kenny Pickett, now, candidly, I got to watch him play more in order for me to really know. But my guess is he's not that good. So while, you know, 4 years ago you had Jalen as a second round pick that had not shown anything bad the way Pickett did with Pittsburgh, and you felt, all right, by benching Carson, maybe we got something in Jalen. I don't think the Eagles probably feel as confident today about Pickett as they did with Hurts 4 years ago.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really don't know.
He wasn't Pickett, very good in Pittsburgh. He wasn't.
Okay.
They moved off him pretty quickly.
They saw a lot that they liked with Kenny Pickett.
Well, not enough. They got rid of him. For old man Russell Wilson.
I'm talking about the Eagles saw a lot that they liked from Kenny Pickett. They feel like they can teach this kid.
Well, he's a backup.
The way they, I understand that, but they feel like they can teach this kid to do what Nick Foles
did, John, which is
allow this offense to work for him. And when we're talking about the West Coast offense, you can bring a guy in that does a great job with that.
Yeah. Well,
he doesn't have to be spectacular. Kenny Pickett can do this.
Well, we'll say. Tim, go ahead, buddy.
We'll see. I got a good movie quote. Yeah. I don't know if it's you're killing me, Smalls.
It's a great one. It's already been said. Give me a different one.
Luke, I am your father.
Well, it doesn't get said in regular everyday life. All right, Tim, great first caller, despite your ridiculous answer at the end. Call us again, buddy.
And that quote's tough, wrong, man. Too. The quote is wrong. That's the one that's, I am your father.
Powerful. Yeah. Powerful.
But everyone thinks it's the other way.
I think it was
because
Luke.
Of Tommy Boy.
Why did they misquote it in that movie?
Yeah, Tommy Boy. He
Chris
says it into the fan
in front of the fan, saying, "Luke, I am your father." Yeah. And I think everyone remembers that.
Fake news. All right, let's go to Mike. Mike, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, buddy.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I want to talk to you about the press conference.
Yep. Are you underwater?
Here, Mike, let me get you on a better phone line. We're going to get back to you. By the way, Sirianni's press conference shortly. Howie will be with them as well. We'll get Mike on a better phone. Let's talk to Charlie in Orland. Charlie, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, Charlie.
With the trade deadline, I remember all the pressure and criticism Ruben Amaro and Ed Wade used to get.
Sure.
Our current general manager gets none because I don't think anybody even knows who he is.
Well, they don't, but he doesn't make the decisions. His name is Sam Fold, and he's involved, but Dombrowski runs the show.
Yeah, I just, you know, it seems to...
Sam Fold's doing an awesome job, isn't he? I love Sam Fold.
Look,
I really do.
Maybe he's great at what he does.
We talked
to
Sam Fold one time, and he seemed really, really nice.
He did, but...
And he's from Stanford.
Well, there you go. All right. I mean, look, Charlie, part of the reason Sam Fold or Dombrowski... You know, this isn't one of... First off, Ed Wade was in a whole different category because they hadn't made the playoffs. So that was about trying to make the playoffs. Ruben was about trying to keep it going and be as good as you could for October. That's where this is a similar category. But there's a lot of faith in Dombrowski, trust in Dombrowski. So, you know, I think people know you got...
Who was there more trust in? Dave Dombrowski?
Dombrowski.
Or Howie?
Oh. It's pretty close, John. Pretty close. I mean, Howie's done it for longer. Howie's had more miscues.
Resume-wise, it's easily Dombrowski.
But
obviously.
Dombrowski mm-hmm. has done it. You know, yeah, it's 40 years.
He's won two World Series with separate teams. He's been to three. Like, he's just done it more.
No, I agree with that. And yeah, I mean, in that sense, it's like when Pat Gillick was here. You know, you got... Listen, Dombrowski's probably going to end up in the Hall of Fame.
Not probably. He's going
for
to...
Sure?
Yeah, like he will be a Hall of Famer.
By the way, we got to get Merrill on the show next week.
You know, Howie...
Merrill goes into the Hall of Fame next
week.
Yeah,
it's a big deal.
Let's make sure we're aware of that. Like, Merrill Reese Hall of Fame next week.
That's remarkable.
It's tremendous.
Congratulations,
Merrill. All right, Charlie, I'm sorry. We keep cutting you off. Go ahead, man.
Yeah. Jim Leland actually did... mentioned Dombrowski in his Hall of Fame speech, how good of a GM he was.
That's cool.
And an executive.
Yeah. Yep. Jim Leland recently. All right.
I didn't know that.
Charlie, give me a great answer. Notable movie, quote, often said in regular life.
Make My Day.
You know, that's a good one. Old school Clint, going back to probably, what's that, the 70s, Dirty Harry.
That's really good.
And Richie, you can do a good Dirty Harry.
I can.
Yeah, I feel like you got it. Let me hear it. We'll go ahead, punk, the whole deal.
Go ahead, punk.
make my day.
That good. Was good. That was really good, dude.
That's solid.
I did not. Well, thanks.
That's
that,
solid.
That was cool.
Clint's wife Clint's died cool. last week.
No,
Clint's wife died, and she was younger, a
How
lot
old
younger.
Is, he's 90.
He's 94.
Wow.
And I think she was like,
yeah, she was like 20 or 30 years younger. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And he's still directing and acting.
I know. Recently, right? He was. Yeah. All right. So James, wow. Let me just detail for everyone listening. Until yesterday, this was a press conference. It was going to be at 9:30.
Yes. 9, okay. Yes, yes.
9:30.
9:30 yesterday, yes. No, 9:30. He's right. Joe's right.
Then yesterday, the Eagles say, all right, let's do the press conference at 9.
That's what happened.
All right. Then, about half an hour ago, we find out it's going to be 9:15.
Yeah.
Okay. Now it's 9:17.
Yeah, about to be 9:18, actually.
So, like... Yeah.
So just the original time now.
I mean, and you guys know, I brought this up earlier in the week.
It's pretty annoying. Not gonna lie.
And again, you know my theory. This isn't just, I mean, yes, as a talk show host who wants to give our audience a time to tune in and listen, yes, it bugs me from that standpoint. But just as an Eagles fan, John, if I'm a listener, I want the, look, we all understand
I want
it.
My team
if something crazy happens.
To run like clockwork.
Be,
I want
yes.
my team to be Come run on. By someone who is fastidious at the top, and it just trickles down. So when they say 9:30, it's like 9:30 on the dot. As soon as that second
look,
hand gets to the top, there are some coaches out there who are that by the book, and it makes me feel better as a fan.
I'm with you, John.
If we have someone who's fastidious like that.
Here's the way I look at it. It doesn't mean you can't win a Super Bowl. Obviously you can. But this is a bad way to start training camp. I got a press conference at 9:30 that ends at 9, that ends at 9:15.
With the general manager now all of a sudden involved, too. And you can't even, you know?
It's just, I don't know, man. Some people might think I'm being nitpicky, but.
I don't think you are.
I don't either.
I share your feelings.
All right.
It is just a little bit off kilter. It's a little bit off. If it were perfectly run by the book and all the trains were coming, going on time. They would run this exactly when they told us it would run.
All right, let's get to Mike right now. Mike, good morning. Mikey, Mike.
Hey, good morning. I'm outside right now. Sorry about that.
No problem, buddy. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to talk to you about Jalen Hurts because I know you have the news conference coming up. I think we should just talk about the future. I know Ray Diddy was talking about it, but also I just wanted to mention I have a son who lives down in Alabama, down south, and it seems like sometimes the people from down south just have a slower way of talking about things, if you know what I mean.
Well, yeah, there's a slower draw sometimes, you know. But here's the thing, Mike. It's not even so much slow draw. Can he exude positivity? I mean, seriously, he's the quarterback with incredible weapons around him. He plays for a great franchise. You know, like he makes $250 million. He seemingly hasn't been injured yet this year. So, come on. Be happy.
He drives my wife nuts. I know when we talk, you know, hear him on the conferences. But it's just, I think it's his nature. He's not going
to
change.
It is his nature.
Yeah. Look, you have to imagine, though. Last season, if you are out there trying to throw the football and there's no protection scheme in front of you to keep you healthy and upright, like that would be troubling.
It's a problem.
To me.
It's a problem.
If the plays that are being called just flat out don't work and they're not being taught with discipline and you know, you don't feel like things are getting better, I would be frustrated.
No, I agree. All right, Mike, we need a quote from you that's said in real life. What do you got?
This is an Indiana Jones movie. I'm making up as I go along.
Okay, you got it. That's probably been said through the years prior to Indiana Jones, but maybe not. All right. Press conference soon, anytime. Whenever it happens, you're going to hear it coming up. We'll get to that next. We think, we hope. As soon as they talk, you'll hear it on 94 WIP.
Hey, Philly, if it's been a minute since you've considered a Nissan, now's the time to check out my friends at the Busch Auto Group. With 6 Nissan models under $30,000 and 2 locations in Limerick and Exton, quality and affordability are right around the corner. This month, you can save up to $4,000 on in-stock Nissan models. Not only that, but every vehicle purchased comes with over $3,000 in bonus value to help drive down the cost of vehicle ownership. Trust me, I've been there. I've been a customer myself. These guys know how to treat you right. Head to Nissan 422 of Limerick or Exton.
All right, Joe to Cameron, John Ritchie. Let's go to the NovaCare Complex. Howie Roseman and Nick Sirianni.
On is your personal interactions with people, not any report that comes out. And, you know, Jalen and I's relationship is good. It's, again, you just can judge it based off of what your personal interactions are. And so when you hear a report like that, you don't put much stock into it because, quite frankly, not everybody sees that. So I'm so excited for him and I to get into our fourth year together. We've done some pretty special things, and I'm really excited for him. He's worked so hard at his game. I'm excited for him to be able to get back out here today and have a good practice today. And, yeah, just looking forward to continuing to work with him and continue to build on the special things that we've done.
With the change in your role a little bit, how has that changed your relationship with Jalen? You have to work a little harder.
You know what? That's a good question, because I'm not in that quarterback room all the time anymore. So it's like some of those times you'd have that natural relationship because you're always in there. But what I think's been beneficial for that everybody needs that time with me, not just me being in the quarterback room, me being able to be into the defensive end room, me being able to go into the linebacker room. So naturally, when you're not just with the quarterbacks, you have to carve out a little bit more time to talk to them, you know, that you wouldn't get when you're in there all the time. So, yeah, I do that for every position, and now I just have to do that a little bit more with the quarterback position because I'm not in there full time.
To both of you, I guess there was a report about the coordinators and Howie, you involved in the hiring. Nick, you talked about it. Could you guys kind of clarify that process?
I can do it. I feel included a little bit in this kind of Is this like, work? Is this like work? Does this work? Yeah, no, that's exactly what I was thinking.
I don't think this works.
You know, I think through our process of looking at our first round pick, I feel like myself, our scouts, we had great information on him. Obviously, he went to Toledo. Nick's college roommate is the head coach of Toledo. When Nick came to me and he said, hey, I got this information on Q, it made me feel much better about the selection that we already felt good about. It's the same process for when we do coaches. You know, Nick will come to me and say, these are the guys I'm thinking about. Do you have any relationship? Do you know these guys? You know, obviously, I've been in the league a long time. I had prior relationships with both of those guys. It makes him feel better about the decision he's making. I mean, these aren't under-the-radar guys. These are talented guys that have been in the league for a long time. And that's how good organizations make decisions. At the end of the day, I'm responsible for the players that I bring in here, draft, free agency, and he's responsible for his coaching staff. But we work together. You know, that's the whole part of being a team.
Howie, it's our first time speaking to you since the performance staff changes. What factor into those, and how's it different without Kevin?
Yeah, I think you're constantly looking at ways to evolve as a staff. You're kind of looking at things that you can do different. And I think from our perspective, we made a bunch of staff changes. I think total six people have kind of changed roles. We're excited about that. We wish all the best to the people who left here. And obviously, you know, as we go through the 2024 season starting today, really excited about that. And we'll all be judged on the results.
Nick, what kind of past changes should we expect to see out here, whether it's length of practice, physicality, or whatever?
Yeah, you know, this first week is going to be, you know, there's an acclimation period that everybody has to go through, you know, week in, week out, but particularly that first week. You know, you'll see some different things, but again, that's so fluid. Like, you're always constantly, like, to this morning, I added 10, 12 plays to practice. I'm like, hey, we felt good yesterday. Guys came back in great shape. You know what? I want to work a situational period today that's going to add a couple plays. I want to work a conditioning period today that's going to add a couple plays. But that changes based off of how the day is and how you think the guys are. That's just something that's completely fluid. You'll see a lot of the same things, and there'll be obviously differences. Everything was evaluated last year from last year, and again, don't want to belabor and talk about. We've answered all the questions from last year. We've talked about that, but the things that we learned from, right, every practice length, practice schedule, schemes, Everything's been evaluated, and everything that we felt like needed to be tweaked has been tweaked.
Now, as far as acquisition, I know you're always talking about acquisition period runs up to the trading deadline, and always looking at the roster and ways to improve it.
He's looking at me.
Yeah.
Okay.
There sunglasses.
But anyway, when you look at this roster now, how do you evaluate it? Are you happy with it? I mean, do you see any strengths, weaknesses, anything like that you can share?
Probably look at it a little differently. You know, I don't think that I'm ever looking at it kind of in those terms. I feel really excited about the opportunity to evaluate these guys on a daily basis and see where we are as a team, see where we are as a roster. We're going to spend a lot of time making sure that we know every player that's on our 90-man, 91-man roster at this time, and be open to ideas about improving that roster. You know, I think that when you get in a position in this league and you feel good about something, it's a very humbling league, and things happen. So, you know, it's our opportunity to constantly have our eyes open about what we see. You know, the beautiful thing, I said it to a coach this morning, the beautiful thing about it is everyone here is ours, you know. So you're not playing favorites because you've brought everyone in here. You know, at the same token, we have an obligation to put the best team forward, whether that's including the practice squad and the 53-man roster, and we'll never be content. You know, that would be a disservice to our fans, to our players, to our coaches.
Nick, how are you mad at past? Jalen Hurts expressed, you know, dismay at the fact that he's had to change coordinators, offensive schemes on a yearly basis this past year. Obviously, there's been a change, even in this last offseason. He said he wished he had coaching consistency, such as like maybe a Jeff Stoutland at the offensive line. There seems to be a discrepancy between what he thinks is going to be 95% changing in the offense versus what you have said. How much more does he have to learn this offseason?
We're all in a work in progress as far as learning different things on our offense, on our defense, on our special teams, things we're doing, situational football. You know, obviously everything we do as far as, you know, changes we make in the staff, changes we make to, you know, your offense or your defense is all for what we believe is good for the team and will help us. You know, even staffs that have, you know, so, you know, the same play caller, they tweak things year in, year out, right? Because if you stay still in this league will catch up to you quickly. And so, you know, as far as the percentage or anything like that, we are working to do what we do best. So, you know, like I said, there are things that we've done well in the past that we'll continue to do. There's things that are going to be new tweaks and new things completely. And like I said to you guys, I think I said this after, like, as far as a play may look exactly the same on tape, right? You may say, okay, I'm looking at this play. Oh, I saw them run that play a bunch last year, and they ran it a bunch this time. But sometimes you're coaching it a little bit differently. And that's evolving as an offense. That's that happens even when you have the same similar staff. But there are people that are same on the staff, right? The tight end coach is the same. The running back coach is the same. The assistant head coach, who's Kevin Petullo, is the same, right? The wide receiver coach is the same. The offensive line coach is the same. TJ has moved up in his role to assistant offensive line coach. So there are a lot of similarities in coaching styles and coaching staff, and some of the things that we're doing with little tweaks here and there.
I would also say, and this isn't related to Jalen, you know, the hardest part about continuity in the NFL from front office, from a coaching staff, is that you win, you lose people. You lose people. And so it's really hard to keep a lot of good people in place for a long period of time. This is nothing about Jalen, but just in general. So, you know, it's just probably a little bit different than other industries where it's hard to do that. And, of course, I'm sitting here. And
what are your thoughts on the Giants' Hard Knocks?
The Giants aren't Hard Knocks?
Yeah.
My thoughts. We got to mind our own business. I think you know, we got enough on our plate than worrying about everyone else. And from my perspective, every day I come in here and there's things that we got to do to make sure that we're doing the right thing and we're getting better. And so it's hard for me to really judge what anyone else is doing.
How are you managing having lost Cooper for 3 weeks?
Well, obviously it sets him back, you know, right? To, you know, not be out here the first 3 weeks, but we were excited about him when we drafted him. We were excited about the things that he did during OTAs and the off-season work, and we're still excited about him. He's going to have to take his mental. He's going to have to get a lot of mental reps these next couple weeks that he'll be out rehabbing that injury. And he'll do that. I'm confident in the person that he'll do that. He's going to have to work hard at that. And then, you know, be able to come back when it's his time to come back, when that injury's healed itself up, and then get those physical reps. I'm really confident that he'll do that, though, you know, because we've spent so much time on the person as well as the player, and excited about that he'll do that, you know, what he needs to do in the classroom.
And I would just add to that. I'm sorry, Coach. I would just say that also, you know, yeah, we're bummed. You know, that's our second round pick. We want to see him out here on the first day. But we also think that this guy's going to be with us for a long time. And so we have tremendous confidence in his ability to pick things up and to come back and kind of keep running. And obviously it's a long season and we're counting on him.
How do you see guys run people out every summer, not this time? Do you look at your back for the most part, I guess, what goes into that? What is that? And how much, I guess, do you spend making sure that doesn't happen?
Yeah, I think it starts with ownership. I think it starts with Jeffrey's ability to let us sign guys early and to try to get out ahead of things, which we couldn't do without his help and his support. You know, so I think he deserves the credit on this. Listen, again, you're dealing with 91 guys. Like, you're going to have issues. It's not going to be perfect. I actually thought what Fred Warner said was really freaking unbelievable, where it's like, the better you get, the more of those issues you're going to have, you know. So when you're a good team, you know, people are going to be responsible for making you a good team, and those players are going to want to be compensated that way, those coaches, the front office personnel. And so I think it's just the nature of a business, you know. I think that obviously, you know, the key for us has been to go to guys early and try to get ahead of those things, but it's not perfect. And I'm sure, you know, sitting here, we'll have issues going forward. And you know, I think that it's hard to understand, you know, what goes on in those situations from other teams, because we're sitting here with kind of our own issues and our own situations.
As you go into camp here, are you looking at Beckham primarily at guard or tackle, and are you looking at Bradbury at safety or corner?
Again, versatility is going to be key for guys. And so, you know, we'll see as camp goes along. but... you know, Makai's going to have to be able to do both, and James is going to have to be able to do both. And so looking forward to seeing some of that with those guys. And but like I said, that's fluid as it goes on. You'll see some of that out here today.
As you turn over at the receiver position, how do you feel about that third spot?
Yeah, really excited to get out here and see the candidates that we have. We brought in guys that we think have talent and the ability to contribute for us, but to sit here and say, like, that's not something we're going to be watching every day and seeing who step up and how the chemistry is with Jalen, it's important, you know. And I think that you look at it throughout the league, that position's an important position. We brought in guys in free agency. We drafted a couple of guys. And I think it's something that we're going to be watching, among other things, daily and see who steps up.
What in your mind does competition at some of these spots really start to heat up and say, oh, we're not getting that?
Well, right away. I mean, everything's being evaluated. Everything they do, the conditioning test was evaluated. The way they came back was evaluated. The way they're going to practice with helmets is going to be evaluated. The way they practice with and the way they walk through is going to be evaluated. So every competition started in OTAs, and it's going to continue here. Now, this is football. Right. And so when those pads come on, it's different. Right. And especially for certain positions, it changes completely of when you have the pads on and when you don't have the pads on. So everything's evaluated. Everything competition is happening. That's a core staple of who we are as a program. Compete, toughness, all those different things, because, you know, that's what we base our program on. But, you know, naturally some positions step up even more when the pads come on.
Along those lines, what's the plan for right guard?
Yeah, we'll see. You know, obviously don't have to release a depth chart yet. You know, don't have to say what our plans are, just like we don't have to say what our plans are for our end-of-game defense. That would be something that we are continuing to work through. And, you know, obviously we'll see as we go, and looking forward to today. And, you know, Tyler will start out there at the right guard position today as we start. But, you know, we'll see how that goes.
Nick, you talked about that 30,000-foot view you have now. And I know you're constantly evaluating things, but it is a little bit of a different role. Did you come into this day one with one or two different things that say, hey, now I can do this a little bit more, now I can focus?
You know, obviously, the way you come out here, and, like, I'm going to be coaching guys up, right? And that's what's fun. You're going to be able to go, like, but I feel like I've been doing that since, you know, even though I was only with the offense, and I wouldn't say only with the offense, like, but, like, yeah, I mean, it's just, I'm just looking forward to getting out here and coaching guys up. And it doesn't matter what position, whether it's, you know, Paris Campbell, or whether it's Rick Lovato, or, you know, I don't have a ton of great coaching points for the long snapper. That's not
my
expertise.
Who walks by next will be the next name called out.
You know, or, you know, whoever it is. But, you know, I'm just looking forward to getting back out there, coaching guys up, and then getting in the film room and you know, kind of living out our core values.
Is it difficult to kind of just explain it and teach it to 90 guys? What's the process been like figuring out staffs and practicing really to get them?
You know, obviously we've spent a lot of time on that and really going to keep that close to the vest, obviously, you know, because that's new for everybody. You know, everyone essentially is year one coordinator for the new kickoff and the kickoff return. And so we'll keep a lot of that close to the vest, but I'm really confident in our special teams coaches. You know, we've continually gotten better at special teams throughout these past 3 years. Michael Clay deserves a ton of credit. He's done an unbelievable job. He's a great young coach who works daily to try to get better. The guys love Mike, Coach Clay. You know, the players that play for him play their butts off for him. And that's just a testament to him. Coach Panunzio, Coach Tyler Brown, you know, Coach Seeley, and just the guys that have been here helping us, you know, continuing to improve. But looking forward to the new challenge of that element of the game, because it's going to be new for everybody, but we'll keep a lot of that close to the vest as we go.
So long, you guys have rotated a lot along the defensive line. Vic's history seems to be to lean a little bit more heavily on his top guys. How do you find common ground?
Yeah, first I'd like to give Coach a lot of credit for incorporating crowd noise into our press conferences this year for our players.
Got to be able to focus in stressful times.
Yeah, I think obviously you have to adjust to whoever the coordinator is and what they do. It, in a lot of ways, it's exciting, you know, to see what our guys can do. We have a lot of young players, certainly in the interior of our defensive line, that should be able to play maybe a little bit higher percentage of the snaps. But you still need guys rotating. You still need good players. You know, I think it's always been important to us to have a lot of defensive linemen who can play at a high level through the course of the year and that can come in and rotate. That's not going to change. Will it look exactly the same where maybe, you know, you're taking a number that's 55 or 60 and now you're at 65 or 70? Probably not. I think also that's why the conditioning is so important. That's why our players coming into camp into great shape, knowing that they're going to play more. And I think it's all going to be player dependent, you know, on how they're playing. But you know, it's something that's probably a little bit different, but not significantly different.
And Vic Fangio hasn't been, just adding to what Howie said, Vic Fangio has been a great coordinator in this league. And we're not talking 10 years, 20 years. We're talking 3 decades worth of being an unbelievable coach. And so you don't do that unless you adapt to the players that you have and you adapt your schemes, you adapt to your surroundings, you adapt to the way the game's changing. And we feel good about, we feel good about our depth. You know, I know Vic feels good about our depth and looking forward to guys like, you know, Marlin and Morrow, those guys continuing to develop and play a good role. You know, those guys, particularly those two guys, have shown toughness. They've shown their hard work throughout the offseason. They showed they came back in great shape, and I'm looking forward, you know, to seeing those guys go out there and practice and having good camps.
And one of the things, Bo, too, I think, you know, for us, we've been very fortunate here where we've really given our young players kind of the ability to kind of develop and not play as much. I'm really excited to see the opportunity for those guys going forward because of where we are. Obviously, we have a lot of high-paid players here. There's great opportunity for young players for us going forward, and I think we have the right players here. That's one of the exciting things about this camp is seeing these young players get an opportunity to carve out a role, how significant that role is. Because I think, you know, you look at our sport, you look at a lot of different sports, and there are opportunities for young players to develop, and you don't really know how they're going to develop and how they're going to play until they get the opportunity. And because of the teams we've had in the past couple of years, which had obviously been good, you know, some of those young players haven't had as big a role. So I'm really excited about that and watching that. Obviously, I'm biased. You know, we brought those guys here, but it'll be fun to watch.
Time for a couple more. With the in terms of the secondary, last year lots of injuries. How much more prepared is this secondary for this season? And in relation to how Vic uses that, is it also equipped for his system?
Well, we'll see. You know, obviously we got to go with what we see here going forward. We brought in a lot of new people into our secondary. We thought it was an area that we had to address. I'm really excited, again, to see those guys go out and play. I think, you know, I didn't do a good enough job last year fortifying the secondary, and it showed with our depth. Our best teams have had our best depth with our best players. And I'm ready to call plays in hostile environments after this press conference.
Last year, you viewed Kobe as the top linebacker. Where is he now going into the season, both from an organizational perspective and health-wise?
That's going to be something that's a great competition. That's going to be a great competition to play out. I believe, you know, we've added some great guys in free agency and the draft. I'm really excited. I mean, you look at some of the things, and, you know, we'll never say, hey, these are the positions we're excited about the battles at. But you, like, sometimes you, Howie and I talk about it, like, man, I can't wait to see that linebacker position. We feel really good about the guys that have been added and the guys that were back from last year, and like just so excited to see how that goes. Now, Nakobe came back in great shape, worked his butt off. He said to me yesterday, "Man, are we putting the pads on tomorrow?" When I walk past him, you know, I know he's ready. I know he's ready mentally. I know he's ready physically. I'm excited to see him, and I'm excited to see that position.
I think I broke that rule talking about a couple positions I'm excited about, right? You know, I think for us, we have tremendous confidence in Nakobe. You know, that's why we drafted him. That doesn't change. And sometimes it's because of how much you liked him throughout the process and bringing him here. So we're really excited about him. He's got the right mentality. There's no question in my mind what his contributions were to one of the best defenses in the history of college football. I know that just from watching the tape. I know that from talking to the coaches. And then the opportunity is there. You know, the opportunity is at that position, I think. You know, we're excited to see what that brings. Obviously, it's a position that in Philadelphia we understand comes under a little bit more of the microscope, and that's probably warranted.
Next year, last one, Tim. Jalen, what are the key things that you're looking for to see him in his development as a leader?
Yeah, I've been fortunate to be with Jalen now coming on my fourth year. You know, I think he's got tremendous energy, tremendous work ethic. You know, just like all of us, everything that he feels like he can continue to work on, he will do. You know, this is a guy that obviously has brought us tremendous success since he's been our starting quarterback, has played at a tremendously high level. I have tremendous confidence in him that whatever he has to do to continue being an MVP candidate, he will do.
All right. Thanks, folks.
All right. That's Nick Sirianni and Howie Roseman, their press conference. All right, great to be with you on this Wednesday morning. The Eagles are going to start practicing in the next 5-10 minutes. So it's a great day to be an Eagles fan. Time's yours, not happening today. Obviously, we got limited time before we turn it over to Joe and Hugh at the top of the hour. But, of course, time's yours when we do have it, always brought to us by Xfinity Mobile. the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. Xfinity Mobile customers now get exclusive access to Wi-Fi speeds up to a gig on the go. Well, limited time, John, obviously, but I'll say I think Devin pretty much hit it with the sports update regarding, you know, stage one today. How would Sirianni handle Hurts? It was good. Like, it was like, we're good. And that's what I expected.
It was very excited. I'm very excited to get back to work with him. Very positive.
That's what I expected. So, you know, we'll likely see later today how Jalen handles it.
He did talk about the fact that he's not in that QB room and he has to figure out a way to carve out more time. It is more intentional.
It's a different deal
than it previously was.
Look, we'll go through a lot of aspects of what was discussed in that press conference, obviously, tomorrow in our show. Joe and Hugh We'll detail it extensively, obviously, with their 4 hours up ahead. Let's also get to today's Twitter poll question of the day and round that one out. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Whether you want gas or electric, Armin has an Equinox for you. Armin's offering great savings on all Equinoxes. Together, let's drive. ArminChevy.com. Poll question, do you want the NFL to have an 18-game regular season? Tell you what, this is something we'll talk a lot more about in the coming days because there was a big story yesterday. They're getting maybe a little closer to it. Our poll result today, 50-50. So we'll dive into that in a future show. Fascinating, the audience split on whether you want 18 games or not. We also got to award a winner here for the most notable quote from a movie with a saying from a movie that is often used in real life. And while there were a lot of great ones, see, I got a ding, I'll be back. Because, like, that was also said, though, prior to Terminator. I mean, people have always said, I'll be back.
But they didn't say it like,
I'll no, be they back. Didn't. I'll agree with that. But I think You're Killing Me, Smalls probably gets said the most. Like, when you're annoyed with, hey, dude, you're killing me, Smalls. You're killing me. Like, Sirianni and Howie being 18 minutes late for a press conference. You're killing me, Smalls.
It does get said a lot.
A lot. All right. Everyone, and it never existed before that movie. So there, it gets a little extra credit for that. Everyone have a wonderful rest of the day. Joe and Hugh next. All the coverage of the Eagles the next many hours. And remember, if Jalen speaks later today, you'll hear his press conference here on WIP. Have a wonderful rest of the day. Talk to you tomorrow from training camp, where we broadcast tomorrow on 94 WIP. All right, great to be with you on this Wednesday morning. The Eagles are going to start practicing in the next 5-10 minutes. So it's a great day to be an Eagles fan. Time's yours, not happening today. Obviously, we got limited time before we turn it over to Joe and Hugh at the top of the hour. But, of course, time's yours when we do have it, always brought to us by Xfinity Mobile, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. Xfinity Mobile customers now get exclusive access to Wi-Fi speeds up to a gig on the go. Well, limited time, John, obviously, but I'll say I think Devin pretty much hit it with the sports update regarding, you know, stage one today. How would Sirianni handle Hurts? It was good. Like, it was like, we're good. And that's what I expected.
It was very excited. I'm very excited to get back to work with him. Very positive.
That's what I expected. So, you know, we'll likely see later today how Jalen handles it.
He did talk about the fact that he's not in that QB room and he has to figure out a way to carve out more time. It is more intentional.
It's a different deal
than it previously was.
Look, we'll go through a lot of aspects of what was discussed in that press conference, obviously, tomorrow in our show. Joe and Hugh We'll detail it extensively, obviously, with their 4 hours up ahead. Let's also get to today's Twitter poll question of the day and round that one out. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Whether you want gas or electric, Armin has an Equinox for you. Armin's offering great savings on all Equinoxes. Together, let's drive. ArminChevy.com. Poll question, do you want the NFL to have an 18-game regular season? Tell you what, this is something we'll talk a lot more about in the coming days because there was a big story yesterday. They're getting maybe a little closer to it. Our poll result today, 50-50. So we'll dive into that in a future show. Fascinating, the audience split on whether you want 18 games or not. We also got to award a winner here for the most notable quote from a movie with a saying from a movie that is often used in real life. And while there were a lot of great ones, see, I got a ding, I'll be back. Because, like, that was also said, though, prior to Terminator. I mean, people have always said, I'll be back.
But they didn't say it like,
no, they didn't. I'll agree with that. But I think You're Killing Me, Smalls probably gets said the most. Like, when you're annoyed with, hey, dude, you're killing me, Smalls. You're killing me. Like, Sirianni and Howie being 18 minutes late for a press conference. You're killing me, Smalls.
It does get said a lot.
A lot. All right. Everyone, and it never existed before that movie. So there, it gets a little extra credit for that. Everyone have a wonderful rest of the day. Joe and Hugh next. All the coverage of the Eagles the next many hours. And remember, if Jalen speaks later today, you'll hear his press conference here on WIP. Have a wonderful rest of the day. Talk to you tomorrow from training camp, where we broadcast tomorrow on 94 WIP.